A professor was teaching a class on time management, and as his students filed in at the front of the classroom, he had a table prepared there, and he had a large glass jar. And next to the jar, he had a pile of rocks there that were about fist size. And of course, all the students were interested to see exactly why that was there at the front of their class. And as the class began, he told the students what he was doing. He said, "I'd like for some of you to come up here and see how many of these rocks you can fit inside this jar." And so some of the students came up and they began to take the rocks and began to try to fit them in there, and they would kind of rearrange them and work them a little bit differently to get them in there a little bit tighter, and they continued to work and continued to work until finally they said, "That's it, that's all we can get in there." He asked everybody, "That's your best solution? Everybody satisfied with that?" And everybody was satisfied, "Yeah, that's as much as it can hold." Then he brought out another bucket with smaller rocks and he poured them out beside it. And he said, "Can any of you fit anything else in here?" And once they saw now, oh, these are smaller rocks, they agreed that they probably could. And so they came up and they began to work. And this was a little bit more difficult, but they would pour it on top and they would kind of shake it. And they would wait and they would watch those smaller rocks kind of filter down and work around those bigger rocks. They continued to do this several times until eventually they had most of the smaller rocks in there, and they jiggled it a little bit more, were able to fit just a little bit more in there, until finally they said, "That's it, that's all it'll hold." He said, "Everybody agreed?" Everybody was satisfied, it was full. He brought out a pail with sand in it. By this point, they had caught on. They volunteered. "Yeah, we believe we can get that in there." Same process. They came and they poured the sand on top, shook it down, until eventually the sand sifted down between the bigger rocks and the smaller rocks, and they were able to fill up the jar the rest of the way with the sand. Then he said, "Can anyone tell me what the moral of this exercise is?" And one bright student raised his hand and he said, "No matter how full you think your schedule is, you can always fit something else in if you try hard enough." And he smiled and he said, "Well, there may be some truth to that statement. But the moral of this exercise is, if you're going to make wise use of your time, you must get the big rocks in first." And I want to take this parable that we've just talked about, and I want to make an application to our lives, because I think it's very applicable. The jar is your life. And your life has a limited capacity. It's limited on a couple of different fronts. First of all, it's limited in that it's very fragile. You really don't know how much time you have here. James would describe it and say, "What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We were observing the fog across the road. Mm-hmm. You ever seen the fog in the morning? It's there, and then as the sun comes up, it vanishes away very rapidly. There 1 second, gone the next. Your life is like that, James says. But also, it's appointed unto us that we're going to die. In other words, you're not going to continue to live forever. The jar has a limiting factor to it. You've only got so much time here. You're only going to be able to fit in so much into your life. And you notice the second part of this passage in Hebrews 9 verse 27 is, "But after this, the judgment." You're going to have to give an account for what you fit into your life while you live here. And however much time you have, you will give an account for it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body on your time here, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." In Romans chapter 2, I'll have you turn over there. It's a little bit longer reading from the others. I don't have it all up here on the screen. In Romans chapter 2, verse 6, Romans 2 and verse 6. Paul says this: "God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there's no partiality in God. In other words, he says, in this judgment, you're going to be judged based upon what you did, the deeds that you did, the way you lived your life here. And it's going to work out in one or two different ways. Either tribulation and anguish, or glory and honor and peace. So how are we going to go about filling up our life or our jars so that when we're out of time, we receive glory and honor and peace? And again, the answer is we've got to get the big rocks in first. That's the only way we do it. So what are the big rocks? Well, the big rocks are the things that are of spiritual significance. And I want you to lock that away in your mind. The big rocks are things of spiritual significance. And we're not giving an exhaustive list here tonight, but I do want to go over some of them. One of the things that's of spiritual significance is making corrections in your life. Jesus said it this way, and it was a pretty stern way of saying it. In Luke 13 and verse 3, he said, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, make correction, you will likewise perish. It's essential. It's one of those things you've got to get in. It may be repenting towards God for your sins against Him, but big rocks are also making corrections with others as well. Jesus would make the point, if you're on the way to offer your sacrifice to the Lord, your offering to the Lord, and there realize your brother has something in you, first go and make peace with your brother. It's a big rock. Making corrections in our relationships with the Lord and with people is important. It has to be done, and it has to be done first. It has to be done right away. I think about Felix, who he saw his need. Paul had preached to him, and he saw his need. He saw that he needed to make correction. There was the opportunity. But he said, go away from them. When I have a more convenient time, I'll call for you. I don't know if that time ever came. In other words, he had the opportunity then to get the big rock in, and he didn't do it. And from what we know from secular history, he filled up the rest of his life with other things and never got that taken care of. Prayer, communicating with God, is a big rock. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 would say, pray without ceasing. There are plenty of other passages that have the same idea. When you look at the life of Jesus, in some of Jesus' busiest times, on some of his busiest days, we would find him a long while before daylight, going to a secluded place and praying to the Father. Now, if Jesus needed to do that first thing, I suspect I need to do that first thing. That's a big rock that needs to be put in, and it needs to be done before we clutter up our life with all, or our day with all other activities. Amen. And never get that accomplished. Growing in spiritual knowledge, reading, studying, meditating upon God's Word is a big rock. Paul would tell Timothy, be diligent, put forth effort to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Don't let a day pass without getting this rock in your jar, where you spend time with God's Word, thinking about it, meditating upon it, trying to understand it, so that you can grow closer to the Lord and His will. Participating in spiritual activities, whether it be spiritual conversations or Bible studies or assemblies like this during gospel meetings or regularly weekly assemblies, make sure that that is something that you put first in your life. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 says, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. There's a lot of things that can crowd up your time. And the instruction from the Holy Spirit is don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together so that you can consider one another, so that you can stir up love and good works, so that you can admonish one another and exhort one another. That's needed. That's a big rock that has to be in there. Spreading the gospel. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, he would say, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Now I understand he was an apostle. He had a special commission in that. But all of us have the responsibility of taking God's word and teaching God's word. We're to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's a big rock that we need to get in our schedule. We need to make sure that we're doing that first. Helping others. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. You got this guy, he's been beat up, left there for dead, and you have a priest and a Levite that come by and see him there. They recognize that he's in need, but they don't help him. And you think about that and you think, why would these seemingly good men leave this man stranded there and not help him? Well, why have I seen people in need and not helped them? Well, I had other things to do. Plain and simple. Oh, that poor person there, it looks like they need help. I sure wish I had time, but I'm on my way somewhere. Helping people is a big rock. But if we're not careful, everything else begins to just crowd so that we see it needs to be done, hope somebody does it, but we don't have time. We've got too much else going on. Giving thanks. In Luke 17, Jesus heals 10 men who have a terrible disease, leprosy. And as they're going away, verse 15 says, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give thanks except this foreigner?'" I'll tell you where the 9 were. They were going on about other activities. But one felt that it was important enough to return first and give thanks. And you know what? Jesus does not. He holds him up in this. He's not condemning him in this. He's showing this is a good move here.
Amen.
Giving thanks needs to be a big rock that we get in. These are the things, some of the things, not exhaustively, but some of the things that God says, these are of the utmost importance. We have to have this in our life. There may be other things that we don't have time for, but these are essential that we get into our jar. So here's the first lesson of the jar. The first lesson of the jar is this. Your jar can only hold so much. You have to put the big rocks in first. Which brings us back to this verse that we've mentioned several times so far this week. Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." That's the idea of putting the big rocks in first. These have to be in our life first. Now, big rocks have to go in first. Things of spiritual significance. What are the small rocks? Now, you may be surprised. I'm surprised by it. But did you notice that when we talked about the big rocks, we didn't talk about things like family? We didn't talk about our job? We didn't even talk about food, clothing, or shelter. Wouldn't you say that's a pretty big, pretty essential rock there? Food, you got to eat, don't you? The reason I didn't include that in that list of big rocks is because I don't think Jesus included that in the list of big rocks. You remember when Jesus was traveling up from Jerusalem or from Judea, and he was going up to Galilee, and he was passing through Samaria, and he was tired, and he was hungry, and thirsty apparently as well. And he stopped there by Jacob's well. And his disciples went into the village to get food for him. And he was there by the well, and a Samaritan woman came up. And he began a spiritual conversation with her. And by the way, do you remember how that spiritual conversation started? He asked, "Can I have a drink?" I think he was thirsty. Did you notice that as that spiritual conversation continued, and even when the woman got excited and ran into the village, that Jesus never got his drink? Isn't that interesting? Was water the most important thing to him? If it was, I think he would have said, "Excuse me, can you please draw some water and then we can continue this?" But that's not how the discussion went. When the disciples get back with the food, they come to Jesus and they urge him to eat. But here's what he says to them. "I have food to eat which you do not know. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Something of spiritual significance. That's the big rock that has to be first. Even above food, or clothing, or shelter, or family. Here's what the small rocks are. The small rocks are important things. Not dismissing that. Important, needed things. Things like food, and clothing, and shelter, and our jobs, and family, and school, and rest, and these are important, but they have to be arranged around the big rocks. They have to be arranged around the big rocks. When it comes to scheduling a job, and my schedule, and I'll try to use your schedule here, if I can remember it. At 9:30 on Sunday morning, there's already a big rock in your jar. At 5 Sunday evening, right? There's already a big rock in your jar. Wednesday, 7, a big rock in your jar. Now, there are other things that are needed in your life besides just that. But a lot of those things are small things, small rocks, while important, while needed, have to be arranged around those big rocks. Or what ends up happening are the big rocks don't get in there. One reason some of us don't constantly get the big rocks in our lives like we need to is we've been fooled into thinking that a lot of these small rocks are the big rocks. And we get focused on that to a degree that's not healthy. We begin to look at our jobs and our family as, well, that's the big rock that has to be there. But the big rocks, the really big rocks, are the things that are of spiritual significance. And I'm learning this lesson. Believe me, this is one of those lessons, well, like every lesson, really. When the preacher's preaching, he's not just preaching to you, he's preaching to himself. Do you remember when Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha? And he was teaching, and oh, boy, wouldn't it be an honor to have Jesus come to your house? And here is Martha, and she's excited to have Jesus there, and all these other people are there, and she's just as busy as she can be, trying to make sure everybody has what they need and take care of and serve everybody and being a good hostess and all of this. And do you know what her sister's doing? Her sister is sitting there at Jesus' feet, not doing anything, just listening to him teach. I'm an only child, so I didn't get to experience this, but I saw it in my children. They got pretty aggravated when they felt like their sibling wasn't pulling their weight. And so she finally gets fed up with it and takes it to Jesus. And Jesus responds to her and he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Now let me ask you, was it good? Was Martha doing a good thing by being a good hostess and servant? Wouldn't you say that was a good responsibility? Absolutely. Was it the big rock? It was not the big rock. And as important as it was one of those things that had to be arranged around the big rock. And she wasn't doing that. And Jesus mildly rebukes her in this. The small rocks are important, but they're not the big rocks, and they cannot be put first. So here's the second lesson of the jar. Put the big rocks in first, and there will still be room for the smaller rocks. takes faith to believe that, doesn't it? You start putting those big rocks in there, and I'm running out of space. How am I going to do this? There'll still be room for the small rocks. Do you remember the context in which Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? You remember the context? The context is, why are you worried about food? Why are you worried about clothing? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added. There'll be room for those. But you've got to get the big rocks in first. And then we've got the sand. And the sand are those activities that are purely optional. You know, that's our leisure activities, that's our hobbies, that's, watching TV, sports, mowing grass. I forget sometimes that mowing grass is a leisure activity, but I suppose it's not as essential as the ones we've talked about, other things we've talked about so far. These can fill the vacant spaces and the time that we have. But really, these are of not a lot of consequence. Now, you just think about how you use your time, what you fill your jar with, and how it's very easy to gravitate to filling our jar with the sand. It seems easier to fill our life with the sand maybe than anything else. It doesn't require a lot of effort in that. I want to end with a contrast between two jars that two individuals filled, and they filled them quite differently. And the first is in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, let's start reading in verse 16 where Jesus speaks a parable. Here's the parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater. And there I will store all of my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now I just want you to notice the things that he's been focusing on here. He's had a great bumper crop. The Lord blessed him with that. And so he's thinking about how to handle this. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. What would that be? Be the small rocks. He's filling it up with the small rocks. Important things. Needed them. But then once he has his crops in, here's his thinking at this point. I have many goods laid up for many years. I'll say to my soul, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now it's kind of shifting over to the sand, isn't it? That's really all that the parable tells us about this man and what he was filling his life with. Well, the small rocks and the sand. And apparently that's the case. Because it goes on to say, God said to him, fool. Why was he a fool? Because it's not the sand and the small rocks that are going to give us our good standing before the Lord. As a matter of fact, the sand and the small rocks we can't take with us. We lose those.
Amen.
In the judgment. And that's exactly what happened. Fool, this night your soul will be required. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And the moral is this. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The time came. He didn't know it. But he had fit all in his jar he was going to fit. And he didn't get the big rocks in. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, I want to contrast that with another individual who lived very differently. And that's the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, listen to what Paul says. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. I understand that there's a day coming where I'm going to give an account for what I've got in my jar. And I'm going to be diligent, and I'm making sure that I get the big rocks in. That's how Paul lived his life. Now, something else that's interesting, you look at this and you see a man, and here he's got this focus, he's got this determination to get the big rocks in, and he's doing so. And he says something else interesting that goes along with what we've talked about. He was able to get small rocks in too, and even a little sand. In Philippians, he writes to the Philippians and he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I get the big rocks in first, there'll still be enough for me to have the small rocks in there as well. And even above that, I know how to abound also. Now, life wasn't always super easy for Paul, but he enjoyed the good things in life from time to time as well. But the most important thing is he got the big rocks in first. How does this turn out? We saw how it turned out for the man who worked on getting the small rocks in and the sand in. But how does it work out in the end for the one who gets the big rocks in first? Well, we look at Paul at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And here's what he says. The time of my departure is at hand. In other words, the jar is full. I'm not getting much else in there because my time is up. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I got the big rocks in. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I love the contrast here. The rich man who filled his jar with sand and the small rocks, when the day came for judgment, he couldn't take any of it with him. And then here's Paul, who filled his jar with the big rocks. And he says, I'm just now getting to my reward. Now let me ask you, which way do you want to live your life? Do you want to live your life for saying, well, the best days are behind me, and I'm about to lose it all? Or do you want to live your life and say, the best days are ahead, and I'm about to receive the reward that I've been working towards? Here's what I want us to think about as we live here tonight. I want you to live your life in such a way where the big rocks get in first, so that at the end of your life, you can say, finally, there is laid up for me that crown of righteousness. That's the way I want to live my life. And I need to be reminded of that pretty often, because the small rocks in the sand find a way of getting in my jar very easily. And I need to be reminded, hey, I'm working towards something, and I need to get those big rocks in. I want that for you. Now let me tell you what we have tonight. Right now, there's still room in your jar because you're alive. Let's not leave here tonight without making sure the big rocks are in place, that we've used this day to get the big rocks in place. I don't know what needs you may have in your life, but I do know that you've got an interest in spiritual things, or you wouldn't be here. And I do know that being here, you're surrounded by people that want to encourage you in this, strengthen you. You've come to the conclusion of this day, who knows how much more time we have here, any of us. But we've got right now. And we've got God's warning right now. And this is the perfect opportunity. If there's a rock that we've been leaving out that we need to get in, let's do it right now. If you're not a Christian, tonight you can come in faith. You can come repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord. You can be baptized into Christ to be raised up, to have your sins washed away, forgiven, to walk a new life that follows after the commandments of Jesus Christ. We talked about making corrections is a big rock that we've got to get in. Well, right now we have that opportunity. there's something in your life you need to correct, and anything that needs to be taken care of here that the brethren can help you with, then let us help you with it. If it's something that you need to take care of as soon as you leave here in some way, maybe going to make a correction with some person, then do it. Don't let this night pass without getting the big rocks in. If we can help you in any spiritual way, would you come while we stand?